You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily on a Friday, getting ready for a beautiful weekend all along the North Coast. Jason Gibbs and Andrew Gribble. Gibbs and Gribbs in for Wilhelm and Zagura. Zagura back on Monday. Are you in for Wilhelm?
Yeah, I think I'm here Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. And then Wilhelm's back on Wednesday. I'll be back in the studio.
Hope to be a championship edition.
What is the show even going to be like if they win it all?
I wonder about the 6 a.m. shows. Like, how do you quickly recover to do a show like that?
Yeah, at 6 a.m. or even 9 a.m. You know, Riz is going to be out on the West Coast. Riz and Hammer and Emmett are all flying out tomorrow. If you're doing a show till 4 a.m. and have to get up at 9 and do another four-hour show.
That's just delirious.
I don't even know how you get that done. I don't know how you figure that out.
I would think, and I heard Carmen talking about this earlier this morning, but I think it will be Monday show would be emotional for folks. I think it would just be a lot of emotions, a lot of positive ones, but I think it would be a lot of people just reflecting on how long they've waited. It's something that I think we've all thought about for years. Like, what if this happened and then it would actually be happening? And I think it would be overwhelming for some people.
I think it will be. You know, I remember when the Cavs clinched in 2007 to go to the NBA Finals. I wasn't emotional last year. Because
it seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah. And I wasn't emotional when they clinched against Toronto. But when you beat the Pistons, when you overcame that hurdle finally, and they clinched to go to the finals because Booby Gibson had the game of his life and shot him into the NBA Finals. I remember, you know, there were some tears in the eyes.
Right, and I remember.
And I remember getting a little choked up, like, this is a moment.
Yeah, and I think I remember the buildup to the 95 World Series better than the 97. Because at that point, you're just like, we got to win with this team. Whereas in 95, it was the first time, and you're getting back into the World Series, and you're playing great. I remember the build-up to that 95 World Series much more fondly than the 97 one, even though the 97 one was pretty memorable, too, in Baltimore, I believe, and, you know, with Tony Fernandez and everything like that. I think just the build-up in 95, that's why I think people look back on that season a little bit more fondly than that 97 season.
Yeah.
You were so much closer to winning it in 97.
97 was tough.
It's a tough loss, but I don't have as many of the feel-good memories of 97 as I do 95.
See, I beg to differ on that.
Really?
Yeah, because 97, my junior year in college, we literally had the same seats for every game. We sat in the same apartment. If someone new came in and tried to sit in someone's seat, when they walked in, everybody just yelled at the person until they moved to somewhere where no one was sitting previously. After every win, we'd put the speakers out on our balcony. We lived in this apartment complex that was just about run down. It was a party complex.
Mm.
And people shoot off fireworks, and we'd play Glory Days, and This Is How We Do It. Because that's what they played at Jacobs Field after every win. And, I mean, we were so invested in it. And, I mean, beating the Yankees and, you know, doing everything how that whole playoffs went out. Because, remember, there were playoff, like, ALCS games, like, at 6 o'clock at night, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They were weird start times. And they were games opposite, like, NFL Sunday games. I just remember, you know, it wasn't like it is now where every other night was a game. And it was on at night. It was prime time. There was nothing else going on.
Right.
It seemed like there was always a conflict.
I remember those 4 o'clock games at Jacobs Field with the shadows.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Like, why are they playing this game right now? No one can see the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all that. It's just, I don't know, 95, everything just felt so new in 95. Like, there wasn't any pressure. It felt like when you got to the World Series against the Braves, it was like, all right, we got here. That was great. But then, like, the 97 was where the pressure came in. And then that made the loss even more excruciating there.
So we've been asking you today, what advice would you give the Cavaliers? You're Ty Lue. What advice would you give the team going into game 7 before they take the floor? Where will you watch Game 7 at? I'm still negotiating that with a bunch of my friends, trying to figure that out. And I've got to involve the wife in that decision. It sounds like Gribbs is going to be downtown somewhere, maybe with his 9-month pregnant wife. and a couple other questions that we thought of today when we were putting together the show, your OBM Hot Topics. Your top three Cleveland sports athletes of all time. Obviously, Jim Brown's one of the three for me. LeBron's one of the three. I don't know how you rank them. Do I put LeBron ahead of, you know, Jim Brown, or do I put Jim Brown ahead of LeBron because he's won a title here? Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking Cleveland athletes. And I have no idea who to put as my third. I've been thinking about it, and I don't, you know. I
feel like I'm maybe going, and I know we could set a cutoff on a year, but that would kind of be unfair. But, you know, if I'm thinking of an Indian, I'm thinking of Bob Feller.
Yeah.
I think he's my guy to represent the Indians in this. I mean, who are we considering if we're just looking at Browns to fill that third spot? Who are the ones you're throwing in there?
I mean, you'd have to throw Bernie in there.
Bernie? Yeah.
Ozzy?
I don't know if he's a top three.
Otto Graham?
Otto Graham could be considered a top three. You know, what?
It just shows.
And I know Indians, you mentioned Feller. I mean, who from the 90 team? You know, I mean, Tommy left. I don't know if I can put someone in that just left and quit on my baseball team.
Same with like Ramirez. I mean, Ramirez is great for a lot of those years.
Yeah.
I think
same
that was
with Bell.
I mean, yeah, I would say Bell too, but that's the thing. I think what made that team so good was they were all great individually, yeah, but the best thing about that was they were just a really good team. You know, no one guy stood out as, oh, yeah, he was the best player on that team. You make a case for 5 or 6 different guys.
Yeah. It might have to be Feller.
Yeah.
And then how do you rank those three?
It's tough.
I mean,
it's just so – it's like
– I mean, I think personally even though he hasn't won a chance, LeBron is hands down the best athlete.
See, that's
Cleveland
the thing that
ever.
Comes back to haunt me is the guy hasn't won you anything yet. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won you anything yet.
But I think when you look at it, he's – you know, Jim Brown was great, but I'm pretty sure – I don't know if – did he ever win the MVP? I'm not even sure. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, when you look at LeBron, he's won multiple MVPs. He's won multiple finals MVPs. He's set – record, you know, not that Jim Brown didn't set records, but you know, I just, and the other thing too is when I look at it, LeBron changed the game of basketball and like how it's played. And I think he'll go down. I still think he's going to go down as the best player to ever play the game. And I think he's the best athlete that Cleveland's ever seen.
Jim Brown, 4-time MVP.
4-time. So LeBron's actually tied with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because LeBron's got 4 too. So
yeah.
How many with the Cavs?
Ah, good point. Because well,
that's something
yeah,
on this
I mean,
list that you got
to
consider.
I mean,
Jim Brown, start to finish, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, LeBron, what, won 2 here, 2 with Miami?
Yeah, four years away from Cleveland in his prime.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's tough.
That's a good point.
Yes, LeBron's won championships, but he's won them for someone else. I think it all changes if he wins it Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, I don't know if I could put him number one. And you talk about all the things that Feller did, you know, and how active he was and how much he loved this town and this community. I don't know. I don't even know how you would begin to rank him. I really don't. It's an impressive – I mean, if that's going to be your Cleveland Mount Rushmore –
yeah.
Those three, and I don't even know. It's a toss-up for number 4. It might be Otto Graham.
It might be. I mean, and then Bernie. I mean, that,
yeah.
In terms of – it's different. You know, I don't know if there's been a more – like LeBron is as popular as it gets. Bernie was as popular as it gets. I mean, there's all sorts of layers and tiers to that discussion. You know,
yeah.
Because it's – you've had some great athletes in this town who have done a lot but haven't – captivated the city the way LeBron, Bernie, Jim Brown have.
Well, and I think too, LeBron has, I mean, for what he's done for this city. I mean, thinking about just the money that he's brought downtown and all the great things that he's done in Akron, and I think that goes into it as well.
Oh yeah,
There's no question about it. We'd like to hear from you on the topic. 216-578-0850. If you have to rank the top three Cleveland sports athletes of all time, who would your top three be, and how would you rank them? Now, on this day that LeBron is cementing himself, we always knew he was a great player and one of the best ever here. You know, but is he the best ever if he hasn't won it yet? Monday, whole different ballgame if he wins. But right now, is he the best of all time in Cleveland sports history? 216-578-0850. Tweet at the show at @Andrew_Gribble, @Browns_Daily, @BGSUGibbs. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Glad you're with us on this Friday. Jason Gibbs, Andrew Gribble in the Dog Bowl. Gibbs and Gribbs. With you till 3 o'clock, the Golden Boys from 3 to 5, Bruce Hooley from 5 to 7. I believe Mark Munchbishop is on after that from 7 to 9 with ECT tonight. And we've got some people calling in right now, too. 216-578-0850. Bob in Willoughby Hills, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily.
How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I think you missed Jesse Owens.
Is he considered Cleveland, or is he considered just, would that be Akron?
He's born in Cleveland.
Maybe, and that's a slight on our part. Maybe I think Gibbs and I's head were at the three major sports teams, I guess. That's a good call on that. Thanks for
Bob,
correcting
thanks
us
for the
on
phone,
that.
Thanks for the phone call, man. Have a good weekend. The Epic Sports Network tweets at us. Otto Graham won like 10 championships. Hard to ignore that.
Yes.
Maybe he makes the top three. What about Lou Groza? I remember the man crying when the Browns left. That's from Herb Bell, our good friend. DJ Tommy Guns sends us a picture from the golf course. I'm a little jealous there, buddy. Enjoying golf, Browns Daily, and ESPN Cleveland and Pennsylvania. Great show today, boys. Go Browns, go Cavs. Sarge tweets at Browns Daily, Browns underscore Daily. Win or lose, no rioting, show some class. I'm interested to see how the reaction will be on Sunday night.
I don't want to predict these things, but no. I wouldn't expect that kind of negative reaction to a loss. I mean, would you? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect
if
that.
If they win?
Then, you know, all bets are off on what kind of.
I heard Carmen talking to him this morning like he was going to go burn some couches or something.
Win or lose, my car is not coming out of the garage.
That's probably a good move, Fontana. You keep your car in a secure place.
It will be in the garage. I'm not even saying where it's going to be at, but it'll be securely locked away.
Anybody at Gasfoot tweets at us, did anyone see Kipnis talking trash to Draymond at the game last night? I did
good.
Not
good
see
for
that.
Kip.
That's fantastic.
Good for you, Jason. Happening. I'll be seeing him tonight. I'm going to the tribe game.
By the way, speaking of Mr. Putting Your Foot in Your Mouth, if I'd played game five, it would have been over.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do last night? Let's take a look at Draymond's stats. 40 minutes, 3 of 7 shooting, 8 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists.
I will say he made it tougher to get to the hoop. I thought the Cavs early on, maybe the first 6 minutes, were trying. It seemed like they were not starting from scratch, but they were like, okay, this isn't as easy as it was in game 5. Like they were running into some more hands and just more – it was tougher to get to the rim. And I think he makes their defense so much better. And I think that's the part that they absolutely miss the most. But I just think their offense in general, and even when they got going in this game, it's just not the same as it was in games 1 and 2. Their looks, they might be getting some open looks at 3, but they're not getting these wide open backdoor cut layups and getting in transition as much as they were in the past. The Cavs have adjusted. And I haven't seen a counter from Golden State yet in getting easy looks at the basket.
Back to the phones we go at 216-578-0850. Mike in New Philadelphia. Mike's gone. Brian in Cleveland we go to. Brian, happy Friday. Welcome
to
Cleveland Browns.
How are you guys?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Okay, well, hey, listen, my top three would be Jim Brown, LeBron James, and the third place would be either Larry Doby and a tie with Rocky Colavito.
All right. Now, Rocky going on and having success elsewhere would not count towards his top three.
Well, he got traded. That wasn't his fault.
This is true. All right. I appreciate the phone call. My uncle's a big Rocky Colavito fan. Rocky Colavito has such an enormous following here, it's not funny.
See, but all I ever remember about him, or not, you know, I never even saw him, so I didn't remember, but all I ever equate to him is the curse. So... like that's a negative thing for me. Like
fair.
I guess you could say with LeBron, some people, you know, the decision. Some people never forgive him for that. But like when I hear Rocky Colavito, the first thing I think of is the curse of Rocky Colavito.
Sure. No, I think that's. I mean, it's amazing. I went to a card show when I was a kid. My uncle took me. We waited in line for 2.5 hours to meet Rocky Colavito, and I mean, they didn't cut the line off. Rocky Colavito met every single person and signed everything. The guy is arguably one of the more popular players maybe of all time. in Cleveland sports history. I'm not saying he's one of the best, but he's clearly one of the more popular guys all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the memories I have growing up going to Bob Feller autograph signings. I mean, it was just someone my grandpa just had so much respect for, all the way going back to fighting in World War II and everything like that. And I think there's that admiration and just how he stayed around in the community. And then when I was an intern at MLB.com in 2008, just going in the press box, having Bob Feller be there and just occasionally sitting there and talking to him for an hour and a half. I mean, he was just an amazing Cleveland sports figure. I mean, that's maybe that's off the field stuff that I'm including and being biased in that regard, but that's something that helped guide my inclusion of him at that third spot.
216-578-0850. You can tweet at the show at Browns_daily, at Andrew_Gribble, at BGSU Gibbs. Sam Waters says Cy Young, he did play for the Spiders and the Naps.
Yeah. Hitting the way back machine.
And the way back machine. Indeed. So we're getting some not too many current. Much more in the past in terms of top three. So let's take a time out.
Right.
When we come back, we will hear from the commissioner of the National Football League. We do have a bit of NFL business to get to, and that's the NFL commissioner sitting down with the Cleveland Browns earlier today. He was in town to meet with the Haslam family, and he was here, and he also did end up, I believe, attending the memorial service for Brian Wiedemeyer, and he spent a few minutes with the Browns video department downstairs, and we have that for you, and we will play that, and we'll give you the Friday forecast. Up next on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Gibbs and Gribbs on a Friday from the Dog Bowl in Berea. Getting you ready for Game 7 on Sunday night, Cavaliers and Warriors. Number of different topics today, and we're taking your phone calls. We go to Rick in a car. Rick, you are on Cleveland Browns Daily. Rick. Bueller. Okay. Thanks, Rick. All right. Earlier today, the commissioner of the National Football League was actually in town. On some business related purposes, he was meeting with the Haslams. I think he goes around to every team. And today was his Cleveland visit. It also happened to be the memorial service for Brian Wiedemeyer, which the commissioner did attend. He was gracious enough with his time to give a few minutes. And Matt, do we have that sound?
We are ready to go.
Perfect. Here is Commissioner Roger Goodell earlier today. That's the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, sitting down with Sarah Kornikovich, getting some Cleveland Browns daily radio time. Jason Gibbs, Andrew Gribble, obviously very happy with what the Browns are doing in the community and part of the big initiative and push that he's making by visiting all those football teams right now.
Yeah, no, and it's good. And I think the big thing that has been going on these last few months is this, the renovations and of these football fields in Cleveland, the five. I mean, it's a big project that is going to be done in a relatively short amount of time over the next couple of years. And I think that's going to really, it's kind of one of the big achievements that they're embarking on. I think it's going to be great for the city.
All right, Fontana, Gribbs, it is time for the Friday forecast. How about some music underneath us, Fontana?
Just, what do you guys want? NFL music?
Some NFL music. That's fine. That's all good. So on Fridays. We do the Friday forecast. I have to make it Cavs related, though. Murph is slacking off. He's leaving for the day. I heard they dismissed everybody yesterday. Did they?
That is not accurate.
That was not accurate. Kribble's like, I don't know what y'all were talking about, but it had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I think he's the kid saw one person walking downstairs and that was it.
Was it Segura's ploy just to get out early? Oh, everybody's leaving. I guess I'll leave too.
No, I was here till 5:30.
All right, here we go. Friday forecast, Cavs edition. Here's number one.
Number one.
So, game seven. You're going to play maybe seven, at the most, eight guys. Who are your three reserves that you're going to play on Sunday night if you're Ty Lue? Andrew Gribble, start with you.
It's got to be
that rhymed.
As much as I've turned on Iman Shumpert, he's going to be in that group. He's the one. Richard Jefferson is obviously number two. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I can't even imagine that I would have ever said this a week ago. But I think just for a few minutes, I think I'm getting instant offense Mo Williams on the court.
All right.
He's filled in nice these last couple games.
He's played better than Delly right now.
Yeah, and
Delly's played himself out of a contract.
You never worry about Mo's confidence. And I think that might have been a worry with Dellavedova in these last few games, especially the three-foul, two-turnover, two-minute performance. I wanted guys out there that are confident, and I think they've got a plan with Mo where they can make him not as much of a defensive liability as he is.
Matt Fontana.
Do I have to give three, or can I just give two?
You can do two.
Just two. RJ and Shump. That's it. I don't trust Delly anymore. I'll listen to Greg. You know, Mo, but I feel like he hasn't really had serious minutes. I know he got a few minutes the other night, but I don't know. I go just to Shump for his defense, RJ because he's pretty much instant offense. And then you just keep rotating these guys through. I think you go seven deep, and I hope Ty Lue doesn't go any deeper than that.
Can I bring up two things real quick? One, the greatest 2 minutes ever of Dante Jones's life last night.
Oh, yeah.
With filling in when the Cavs needed him in a tough situation.
Except with the place I was at, every single person there goes, who is that? And I had to go, Jones. And they all thought, like, I'm like, Dante Jones. They didn't even know he was on our team.
And then my second thing I'll bring up real quick. Is it a sign of respect that Ty Lue is giving Channing Frye by not putting him in that garbage time five at the end? Because he didn't even get in that group at the end of the game.
I would think so. I would think so. How about that? Here's a guy that arguably could have gotten votes for the Eastern Conference MVP. The Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Right.
For what he did.
Oh, I think he was at his best in the Hawks series.
You're right.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Okay. Could have been the MVP of that series.
Right.
Two series later, he can't get on the floor in the finals.
Yeah, and has there been an explanation why? I think it's defense.
Wendy says it's a matchup. It's the same thing with Kevin Love. Too many bigs on the floor. He's too big. And can't guard the smaller lineup. But, my goodness. I mean, look, it's the final game of the year no matter what. Everybody should be ready. But he can't even get on the floor right now. What does that say?
It's weird because there's some games. Wasn't it game one of the first round he didn't play at all?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. And I think early in his first few games with the Cavs in the regular season, he didn't play all that much. Very odd.
It's very odd. So you're saying you're going to stick with Kevin Love in the starting lineup, both of you?
Yeah, mostly because I think it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, change. And the other thing, too, is I still think that, you know, Richard Jefferson is – I hope he plays more minutes. So by starting Kevin Love, if that could actually –
31 last night.
That's, you know, you start Kevin Love to give RJ a rest. As weird as that sounds – I would rather have RJ out there later in the game.
Even though Kevin Love is probably going to play less minutes, I just don't think he can mentally handle coming off the bench. I think he's in a better place as a starter, and I think
you just get the quick hook.
And I really, outside of the foul trouble, which some of those are real ticky tack, I like what Kevin Love did last night. That's what you need for this series from him.
He gave you a few points in the third quarter.
Yeah,
didn't play horrible defensively. I mean, he gave you 11 or 12 minutes. Okay. As long as you're getting contributions offensively from JR and from Tristan like you did, You have nothing to worry about.
Right.
Next.
Number two.
Your Ty Lue. What's one adjustment you would make going into Sunday night's game?
We kind of already mentioned this, but I'm equally attacking Curry and Iguodala on defense. And I know they might have been doing – I don't know if they adjusted on the fly to do that last night as much, but if you know a guy's got a bad back and he's not 100%, you got to go after him on every play.
Fontana?
I would say – I don't want to say more rest for LeBron, but I am a little worried that he's going to kind of fall into what he did. I think it was a game four where he just let him play the entire second half. And LeBron, we tried to get back into the game, but by that time LeBron was too tired. So I don't want to say too much rest for LeBron, but just continue with that break at the beginning of the fourth quarter and a break somewhere in the third quarter. Just stick to your guns, Silu.
I don't know if I'm making any adjustments. Right now your team's playing loose. They're moving the ball. Maybe you tweak a couple little things, but I don't want to alter anything too much right now because they've won the last two, should have won the last three if you go back and think about it. You know, that game four, they should have won. It was there for the taking, and Golden State didn't do anything special. The Cavs just couldn't make a shot. They shot 37% from the field.
Do you go from giving Harrison Barnes 15 feet of space to 20 feet of space for his shots? I mean,
possibly.
You just
possibly.
Not even
I
acknowledge
love
his existence.
He sucks right now. My God. 2 of 18. I heard Wendy this morning on RBS. You want to talk about playing yourself out of a contract. Didn't he turn down like a $60 million offer?
Yeah, I still think he'll get stupid money from another team. He just might have ruined his chances of potentially getting that stupid money from Golden State.
Yeah. Now you're going to go play for a bad team.
Yeah.
You won your ring. Now you're going to go settle for, you know, enjoy Minnesota or Sacramento.
Yeah.
Next.
Number three.
Fact or fiction. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving will outscore Steph Curry and Klay Thompson Sunday night.
That's fact. Because as much as the Cavs need their supporting cast on the road, the track record shows that they're not showing up as much as they do at home. And I think the Cavs are going to need those points out of those two.
Fontana?
I'll agree also. Fact, the Warriors are so off right now. I don't want to say that this should be a layup for the Cavs because I won't say that because how good the Warriors are and they're at home. But, man, the Warriors are in a bad place right now.
I'm blown away at the infighting and kind of the pointing the fingers and the body posture. Like, they don't even care. Like, midway through the first quarter, Steph's on the bench, and I know he's got two fouls, but the guy was just like, can I just go to the locker room, get dressed? Can we fly home? We can be home before midnight. I mean, wanted nothing to do. No one on that floor wanted anything to do with that game.
So here's – this is me looking for clarification. He officially did get ejected last night.
Yes.
Because I think there was some confusion about that.
You can get ejected on one technical.
You can? Okay.
Wendy went over that with me this morning.
Okay. Because that was the confusing part. Because it looked like, why is he going to the locker room? Like, he could just be on the bench with his teammates, right?
Yeah. They threw him out because he threw his mouth. They considered his mouthpiece throwing incident some kind of gesture. Throwing.
But that's not a double
stance.
Technical, though.
Correct.
That's odd to me.
Yeah. He just gave him one tee and said, goodbye. You need to leave now.
Okay. And then Klay also left the bench a little early.
Yeah, not a good look, by the way.
Yeah, I don't – that was another thing that the whole narrative of if LeBron did this, .. what would the reaction be? If LeBron did that, that would be a couple topics
right
on First Take right now.
Yeah. I haven't seen a bunch of guys whine and cry and act as spoiled as this group does. And it's surprising knowing their coach – and again, what it goes back to earlier, I thought you were better than that, Steve Kerr.
Yeah,
they don't know, and that's fine. You don't know how to lose, but you should know how to lose, or at least be graceful when things don't go your way.
All right,
that's gonna do it for the Friday forecast. We'll take one final timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up on this Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Final thoughts. Gribbs, this is your last Father's Day without being a father.
There's still time.
There's still I don't even know what that means.
No, I mean, that maybe, you know, a lot can change in what?
2 days, yeah.
2 days,
Well, I hope not, because Game 7 Sunday, and we don't want anything to come between the Game 7 and the child. But have a great weekend with your family.
Okay.
Hopefully you get out and get some golf in. And
trying.
Nice job today, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Both of us were able to get a word in edgewise today. The kid and the girl weren't here. For Matt Fontana and for Andrew Gribble, I'm Jason Gibbs. The Golden Boys are next. Have a great weekend on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.